Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
We're almost there, Drew. We're almost to the Stanley Cup Finals as we record this episode of the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. We are looking at the Florida Panthers going to the Stanley Cup Final, the number 8 seed, looking to become the third all-time team to go all the way from the 8th seed to the Stanley Cup Championship. And of course, we've got a barn burner of a series. Vegas definitely has the upper hand, but Dallas coming off a big victory. Your overall perception and thoughts about what's going on?
Well, I'd like to tell you that I was a genius and I picked the Florida Panthers, but I didn't. I don't know if anybody can raise their hand honestly and go, oh yeah, I had the Florida Panthers going all the way. And you think about this. This is a team that had 92 points in the season. And if it wasn't for Chicago beating Pittsburgh on the last day of the season for the Penguins and the Blackhawks, then the Florida Panthers wouldn't even have made the playoffs. But since they made the playoffs, they've knocked out Boston, they've knocked out Toronto, and they've knocked out Carolina, three of the top teams in the National Hockey League during the regular season. And they've done it, well, I would say fairly easily against Boston, because there's nothing easy in Boston in the playoffs. Against Boston, they're down 3-1. Since then, they've gone 11-1. It's incredible. Matthew Tkachuk. Danny, I'd like to think about a trade that's been more impactful for an organization than Matthew Tkachuk for the Florida Panthers. And I can only think about Joe Thornton coming to the San Jose Sharks and changing that organization.
Yeah, but that was back in 2005. I mean, this has been a long, long time since we've had a trade that's as impactful as what Matthew Tkachuk has brought to this team. And to see him do it is just pretty incredible. Of course, if you talk to Sharks coach David Quinn, there's no surprises as how well he knows the Tkachuk family. He coached his brother Brady, tried to get Matthew to come to Boston University, but Matthew did like his dad did, went to junior hockey and ended up in the National Hockey League as a first rounder. But I got to tell you, Drew, my feelings and my thoughts about Matthew Tkachuk have only gone up since playoffs have started, just because we always knew he was a pain in the neck. I still think that Brady may have a longer and higher profile in the game, but you never know. But boy, it's going to be tough to match what he's been doing.
Let me ask you something. Do you believe in the clutch gene?
Well, I guess so. Let's talk about Joe Pavelski. I mean, there's another guy that does things like that.
We were talking about that yesterday on the radio show I do back here in Saskatchewan. And, you know, I believe in the clutch gene. I believe in Tom Brady as the clutch gene. Joe Montana had the clutch gene. You mentioned Joe Pavelski. And after Joe Pavelski scored last night, I thought to myself, yeah, it exists without a doubt. Certain guys have it. And Joe Pavelski doing what he did. And the Dallas Stars was interesting last night because they have that gong show of a game three. Jamie Benn takes a stupid penalty, gets suspended. Max Domi loses his mind. The whole team were just completely out of sorts and Vegas thumped them. They regroup without Jamie Benn. And once again, Joe Pavelski proving he's the real leader of that club. Ottinger gets his game back, plays really well. They do a great job opening up the neutral zone. And then Joe Pavelski in overtime does what Joe Pavelski does from the spot. We've seen him practice doing it and then do it during games. And the big Pavelski comes through in the playoffs with another winning goal. He has more goals in the playoffs than any other active player in the National Hockey League, over Sidney Crosby and Ovechkin. And he was the oldest player to score a game-winning power play goal at 38 years old last night. And he has passed Mario Lemieux for most power play goals in a playoff career.
Well, he's got the hands, right?
Oh, exactly.
let's talk about this clutch gene and what the keys to it are. You know what I think it is? I think that you can look at the way goaltenders play in clutch games too. They've got the clutch gene, the gene. It seems like Sergei Bobrovsky has it. Here's the deal with the clutch gene in my mind. I think it's related to what makes a great goalie in a way. You have to have that calm demeanor under the pressure situation. You have to enjoy that process. You have to almost get calmer when things get crazier. And that's not the way that most people are. Most people get crazier when things get crazier. But these players just seem to just smooth right out and say, okay, I have nothing to lose from this.
Yes.
I'm not going to worry about failing. I'm just going to just go out and enjoy this. And they do it.
I think you're right on the money. They don't worry about failing. They only see themselves as succeeding because they've got that inner calm, because they know they've put the work in. And I think you're right on the money. They never worry about failing. They just worry about doing. They didn't worry. They just do it.
Well, let's see how they did it. Let's first start with the Florida Panthers game against Carolina. It started off really well for Florida in game number four. Anthony Duclair struck early.
In front for Hagee Barkov, Duclair. Oh, what a save made by Frederick Anderson. Got a piece for Duclair, the rebound, and he scores. And Anthony Duclair gets the Panthers on the board. 41 seconds into the game, he picks up the rebound and catches in. Anthony Duclair, Panthers lead 1-0.
Doug Plakins on Florida Radio kept going with another goal that was scored by Matthew Tkachuk. Not the winner, but a beauty nonetheless.
Going to be Verhaeghe into the near circle. Wrist shot blocked off the end boards. It's going to be picked up by Burns, and he'll play it out the line. Held in Verhaeghe. Forsling. Right side Ekblad. Bounces one in front. A shot. They score! And it's Matthew Tkachuk from right out in front of the net. 2-0 Panthers. A power play goal with 9:37 to play here in the opening frame.
Yeah, but Carolina is a team that doesn't quit. Doesn't seem to matter who's hurt or who's not. Paul Stastny, a veteran, came up big.
Now the puck still in the Florida zone. McKechnie going after it. He'll get it to Martinook, and a long shot. Bobrovsky can't get it. It's loose. They'll score. Carolina gets a bounce and a break finally. And it's a 2-1 game. Hard work out in front as Paul Stastny tips home a rebound. And Carolina cuts the Florida lead in half.
Well, that gave them some life, and then Teuvo Teravainen came up and tied it.
Kane will win this draw. They'll put this in the Florida zone. Good work by Jack Drury. He'll get to the puck first, to the left of Bobrovsky, and now the Canes will keep it in. Sent back to the point. Shea with a shot. Deflected out in front. Chance for Teravainen. They score! Teuvo Teravainen from the slot. They beat Bobrovsky. We're tied at 2.
Mike Maniscalco calling things for Carolina Panthers Radio. Meantime, they traded a couple of other goals, and it came down to OT. And then an incredible thing. It didn't quite get to overtime. It came down to the final seconds of the third period. Everybody expected that it was going to be the big victory for somebody in overtime. They thought they were going to have the extra session, but here's what happened.
Tkachuk out at the right point covering. 15 seconds in regulation. Tkachuk, Reinhardt near circle. Reinhardt in the circle. Shot, and it's fought off by Anderson. Barkov right circle. Down to the goal line. Tkachuk in front of shot. He scores! He scores! He scores! Matthew Tkachuk, a power play goal! It's 4-3 Panthers with 4.3 seconds to go in regulation time.
That's essentially an overtime goal, Drew, but how deflating for a team that's trying to survive to give up a goal with just such little time left in the third period. Not the only time that happened to Carolina in this playoffs either.
No, they lost with 12 seconds left in the fourth overtime in game one, wasn't it?
Yep.
When you look at this, so we get these fancy stats, folks, all the time. This Matthew Tkachuk's goal at 1955 of the third tied an NHL record for the latest game-winning goal in regulation in postseason history, matching Nick Metz from the Toronto Maple Leafs in game six of the 1942 Stanley Cup semifinal against the Rangers. That's how far back you got to go. But the interesting thing with Carolina is that, to me, and the difference between the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes was Florida had guys, their top guys, especially Matthew Tkachuk, who scored three game winners, two of them in overtime in this series, plus assisted on the game winner in game three. Their top guys showed up. Their top guys made impact. The Carolina Hurricanes, Sebastian Aho played well, but he didn't score very much. Teravainen came back from injury, played okay. Brent Burns, Pesci, Shea, Slavin, those guys combined for like 49 goals this year. They scored, Brent got two, and then after that, it was like 1-1-1. Their top guys were good, played hard, played well, but couldn't make an impact.
No, that's the story. It reminds me of the Toronto Maple Leafs against Florida. Mm-hmm. The top guys also were good. They had their chances, but they just didn't elevate their play quite enough, just so close, but yet so far. And that's what Rod Brind'Amour was talking about at the end of the game. Brind'Amour, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, has been there. He's done it. And now he's got to deal with this.
Well, when you look at what, like Rod Brind'Amour, I know you saw it, Danny, and I did too. When Rod Brind'Amour said that, you know, it could have gone the other way. It could have been, they could have been the team that swept the Panthers out. They could have been the team that was going on, because every game was one goal. Yes, he goes, yes, we got swept. He said, but we didn't lose. We got beat, which I actually don't mind that saying, but he was talking about it easily could have been reversed. I didn't agree with that part for the simple fact of what we just talked about, where the impact players for Carolina just didn't make a big enough impact. But that's right after the game. Rod Brind'Amour, as you said, has been there, done that. He has been a guy who's always emotional. He's very passionate. I know what he was trying to say, and I know he was putting his arm around his guys that they did play hard and they had a hell of a good year, and they did, second best team in the NHL. But when I listened to his post-game comments, I was, you know, Rod, I know what you're trying to do here, but I disagree with him. I didn't think that they could have been that easily been that team that where the situation would have been reversed, because, as I said, top players didn't make the significant contribution on the score sheet. And that's where
to his defense, I mean, he had some top players that were out, and that's part of the problem. Slavin also getting hurt in that critical game. Oof. And after the contest, as you mentioned, Brind'Amour trying to explain some of it. And he talked about mostly how proud he was of his players.
Yeah.
I felt great about the game other than the start, you know, the way we started coming on, and felt like all the other games, to be honest with you, just really proud of the group, how hard they worked, and, you know, I deserve a better fate, I think so, to be quite honest, but just like I said, you asked me how we were going to respond in this game, and it's exactly what happened. You know, guys went down, we're losing our best players, and we just kept playing, and from the seat I had, that was a pretty good game, you know, pretty impressive effort, and it's the way we've been all year, and these four games, it's a tough way to end it. Like that, you know, that's going to be tough for sure. But I'm just proud of what we built here and the guys that we have in there.
Meanwhile, on the other side, Paul Maurice, obviously happy with the way things have gone for the Florida Panthers, beating the Boston Bruins, the President's Trophy winners, taking on Toronto, and now beating another team he used to coach, the Carolina Hurricanes. And he says it's been quite a ride.
Everybody's coming to the rink tomorrow in a phenomenal mood. Have been for a while, but we also had some tough times this year, right? There was some grinding going on here. For the people that have invested the most in terms of time, the people that have been here, well, this is the most sweet for them.
Well, he's talking about players that have been around a long time for Florida, like Aaron Ekblad, number one pick overall, has been through a lot with the Florida Panthers, has gone through injuries, has been one of the better defensemen in the NHL. He gave us his thoughts about the victory.
Eastern Conference champions, it's really cool. There's no doubt about it, but you know, at the end of the day, we have our eyes on something different, and it's a great opportunity, a chance to do it, right? So it's, what a cool feeling.
Anton Lundell is one of the role players on this team, and he was speaking eloquently about where the Panthers are.
We're excited. We're ready. It's something we've been dreaming since forever, and now is the time, now is the opportunity. We're really happy. We're not done. We're not finished. We got more energy, and we can't wait to the finals to start.
Well, I'm sure they can't. Neither can Sergei Bobrovsky.
I'm enjoying this moment. It feels great. Definitely, it's a great opportunity, great spot, and we went through lots of things, and I'm really appreciate for this opportunity.
Leaving the best for last, Matthew Tkachuk, the guy who got the game winner. Mm-hmm. Amazing thoughts.
Like, it's just so fun being at the rink right now. We got a few weeks left of this, and it's gonna be. We talked about in the room, gonna be the best few weeks of our lives, hopefully. So. Something that we're all really excited for.
Whoever the Florida Panthers play, it's going to be a very, very tough out, whether it's Dallas or whether it's the more likely Vegas Golden Knights. But, Drew, you know that anything can happen here in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, let's go back to Florida, you know, and Paul Maurice. And you and I had a great discussion with him when we were there right after the All-Star game playing the Florida Panthers. He told us about the grind. He told us about how they tried to reshape the team's thoughts and style of play, and changing from 7-point team, President's Trophy winning team, to a team that would grind you down, team that would forecheck you into the ice. And he said it took a while. But what he did mention was the guys that you just talked about, Matthew Tkachuk, Sasha Barkov, Aaron Ekblad, they all bought in. They were all like, okay, coach, yep, we get it. And they, after injuries, after all that grind, after what Paul Maurice told us at that with our meeting with him as being one of the hardest training camps he's ever put a team through or a team has ever gone through, they were able to do this. But the other aspect of when you listen to these guys, and one thing I was really, really glad to see for the Florida Panthers is nobody did the stupid, should we touch it or not touch the trophy? It was great. They grabbed the trophy.
Did you see what Matthew Tkachuk said? He said, hey, we earned this. We weren't even in the playoffs a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly. And I go back to last year, and there's a video last year when Colorado won the Western Conference, and they were just talking, should we touch it? Do we touch it? What do we do? And Joe Sakic is standing on the bench. And I think it was Cale Makar looks at Joe Sakic and said, do we touch it? And Joe said, of course you do. Absolutely, yes, because basically the same thing. You've earned it. You know me in superstitions. He who believes in superstitions doesn't believe in his own ability. I love the fact that they grabbed it, they embraced it, because as you said, Matthew Tkachuk said, they earned it.
Well, boy, they sure did. And I remember when the Sharks won the Clarence Campbell Bowl, they kind of touched it, but they didn't skate off with it like Matthew Tkachuk. And I got to be honest, I'm happy that they did that. By the way, Tkachuk is making a name for himself with skating off the ice really quickly as soon as possible after games are over.
Oh, my. It's become my favorite thing. I love watching them. They actually sent him back out, actually, too, which is
to shake hands, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my.
Well, you know, he scored that goal, and then they went to video review because it might have been goalie interference. And there's a little bit of a stick. It was Bennett with his stick in between the pads of Anderson. But
they just wanted to get it right.
Exactly. If we want to get it right, that's what it's an automatic review. And he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And when they say, yes, it's a good goal, you could see his excitement, because this guy scored 104 points last year. They have the big trade, where he tells Calgary, I don't want to be here. I'm not going to sign an extension. You know, one more year left in that contract. They make the trade. Huberdeau, Weir come over. And we all thought Brad Treliving did a great job. I still think he did a great job getting those guys.
Time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see when a new coach comes in, a new manager comes in with Calgary, and they figure that out. But Matthew Tkachuk has another 100-point season. And when you listened after the game, Barkov talking about him, with Tkachuk beside him, Ekblad talking about him. He has been the driver on that team since he got there. But you mentioned it and you played it. The fact that he loves being in South Florida, loves being there, loves being part of that team.
By the way, Barkov's another one of those guys that's really been through a lot with his team. And he had some thoughts after the game, too.
It's hard to explain right now. Everything just happened so quick. And It means a lot. It definitely does. And to get to this point, you know how hard you need to work. And obviously, we all know, like, there's another big series coming up soon. So we can't get too high on this.
Isn't it interesting to contrast Tkachuk's emotional exuberance along with Barkov's steady leadership? I just think that it's a good combination in Florida, and that's really helped the Panthers through the playoffs. We'll see what happens in the finals. One other thought, too, Drew, about this. If I'm the head coach of the Boston Bruins, Jim Montgomery, and I'm looking at all of this, I'm realizing that Florida a year before won the President's Trophy and lost. Can I take something from this and just make some notes for training camp next year?
Yeah, and I think Don Sweeney, the general manager, is going to have to as well. You know, it was bold move by Bill Zito. Bold moves. You could have stood pat and went, okay, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to stand pat. We're going to be okay. They didn't stand pat. They made a couple of really bold moves, including the coach and getting Paul Maurice to come in over Andrew Burnett, who was a coach of the year nominee.
Incredible series. It's going to be Florida in the Stanley Cup Final.
We continue now with the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
And to the amazing series between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars we go. And it comes down to game four, desperation through the contest. Everything is on the line. Some people say you have nothing to lose, but you actually have everything to lose in this game. And wouldn't you know it, the game-winning goal was scored by our good friend, Joe Pavelski.
It's coughed up and cleared all the way down by Vegas once more. Is this where Joe Pavelski's deflection capabilities comes into play? Again, no Jamie Benn, so Tyler Seguin is on this top unit. As Robertson on the right wing side got into the slot. Here's Hintz, drags it, saved by Hill. He's face down, the puck is loose. Up top, Haskinen, left side shot, score! Pavelski, a one-timer! Joe Pavelski keeps the Dallas season alive and sends this series back to Vegas after a 3-2 Game 4 win.
Well, it wasn't Pavelski's tipping ability. It was his one-timing ability. That was Josh Bograd on the Dallas side. Now let's listen to Dan Duva on the Vegas side.
And across the line, a tie-up, a diving centering pass out in front. Sliding save, and it goes behind. Hill sprawls out, now in the middle. Extra pass, a shot, they score! Pavelski! Stars win in overtime! Joe Pavelski, the veteran. The Stars say we don't need another hero. Pavelski's fourth career overtime playoff goal. His ninth goal of the Stanley Cup playoffs, his first of the series. Joe Pavelski sends the series back to Vegas with an overtime power play marker. Dallas 3, Vegas 2. The goal comes 3 minutes and 18 seconds into overtime, 50 seconds into the power play. Joe Pavelski's 180th playoff game, his 73rd career playoff goal.
Nice summation by Dan Duva on Vegas radio in the Vegas defeat to Dallas. And speaking about putting things succinctly, Jake Ottinger, the goaltender, was asked if he was surprised that it was Pavelski who did it.
Who else, right?
That's all he said. Who else,
exactly right?
Right? And nothing else to say exactly. This reminded me, by the way, Drew, of a game that Joe Pavelski scored a game five overtime goal against Dallas in the playoffs way, 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 way back earlier in his career. And that was a big one. I think it was in 2005, somewhere in that time frame, somewhere in there. I can't remember the exact year offhand, but I just remember him scoring against the Stars in overtime. Now in a Stars uniform, he does it. And of course, his head coach, Pete DeBoer, talked about it post-game and discussed the impact that Joe Pavelski has.
Well, he's ageless, you know. He just, what do you say about him? I mean, I've seen it. I've seen that movie, you know, over and over again, never gets old. But he lives for those moments and, you know, he wants to be in those situations, always has, and delivers, you know, almost every time.
Pavelski talked about it, too. He said that they've lost a couple of games in overtime. They've been disappointed. In fact, they were winless in overtime until he took that one-time shot.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had the greatest success in overtime. It was still a moment where we wanted to attack, and if we had an opportunity, we wanted to go. And, you know, there was a little bit of pressure there for us. And I think once the penalty happens, it's, you know, it's a great opportunity to create some more off it and get some looks. And probably wasn't the cleanest PP to start early, but we retrieved a puck or two and found a little space, and it was nice to see that one going for sure.
Joe Pavelski's 38 years old, and you know, he scored all these goals in his career in the playoffs, and he was asked postgame if he appreciates it more now.
Yeah, you probably appreciate them a little bit more. They feel just as good as they did some of the other ones. You know, you're just living really in the moment and trying to create what you can, and they're very exciting games to be playing in, and great opportunities to still be playing, and it was a tremendous feeling for sure, and glad we can, you know, play another game and go from there and try to extend it. It's, you know, they've won a couple overtime games on us. It's been a pretty tight series, so we just need to keep staying with kind of that mindset and keep. There was a lot of sacrifice from guys, some big blocks along the way, and some key saves and fun moments out there tonight. And you know, we got to go out and do it again.
They got a couple goals from Jason Robertson, Drew, and Robertson had a couple of blocked shots too that were really important. That's what I think Joe Pavelski was referring to there.
Yeah, he was sitting beside Robertson at the time and post game there, and the thing with Robertson, he's been trying to find his scoring touch in this playoffs, this series. It's the conference finals. Things get tight and things get checked, and you start keying in and zeroing in on guys. But the puck kind of followed him last night. You could see it early. Had a couple of chances, and Robertson's a really talented guy. But I look at Robertson and Pavelski being that mentor for him. You talked about just before when we started here talking about the clutch gene, the calmness at which Joe Pavelski's talking about the game. That's the calmness at which he attacks the game as well. But still, it doesn't mean he lacks the intensity. Robertson's kind of got that as well. I remember you and I had talked to Robertson late in the season when we were in Dallas, and we kind of got that same vibe from him. Remember in the dressing room after the morning skate?
Yeah, absolutely. He was so calm. No problems. He's, you know how, for instance, to compare him to, say, Brent Burns, who gets really wound up even in the morning skate. This guy just was, his pulse was 55.
Yeah, exactly. And he was obviously a huge part, but he made a couple of key blocks, especially late in the game, Danny. The interesting thing about that game was I thought that Dallas did a really good job being able to open up the neutral zone. In fact, Bruce Cassidy talked about it postgame. He wasn't happy about how open the neutral zone was. But again, that's another series with the exception of the Gong Show, which was game three, where every game is an overtime game and one goal changes it. But as you said, Dallas was 4-0 in overtime games so far in the playoffs, and Pavelski keeps the season alive being Joe Pavelski. And how many times, Danny, have we seen Joe Pavelski come out before a morning skate, before practice, from that spot and work on one-timers?
He does it every single day of his life,
every
I think he does it in the summer. I really do. I mean, it's just sort of part of it. He probably has Nathan going out there and taking shots that he can deflect out in the yard just to make sure. Another part of this game, Drew, too, was Jake Ottinger had a bounce back. He had a really rough game number three, and he came back with a couple of big saves, and he was feeling pretty good after the game.
How does this one make you feel?
Feels great. Huge win, obviously. You know, the guys stepped up and finally we got one to go our way in overtime. So 3 out of 4 games in overtime shows you how tight these two teams are. And, you know, hopefully this gives us belief that, you know, we can beat these guys.
And there is the question, the belief that suddenly come back into the Dallas dressing room, maybe a couple of seeds of doubt on the Vegas side of things. Roope Hintz was talking about that, and he says the belief is there for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, of course, it's huge. And this team will not quit. We're gonna bounce back, and we're gonna show that we have a so good group here that we're not done yet. And it was great for us to get the OT winner.
Emphasizing it, Hintz says he really believes that Dallas can definitely do it.
I do. I know so, and we got great group here, and we're not quitters. So yeah, we're gonna show that.
What gives him that belief?
It's just we've seen that the whole season. We've been down, but we always bounce back. So I think that's how it goes. And now we go back to Vegas, and we get win from there, and then it's a new series.
Well, Drew, it's happened only a handful of times in the history of the National Hockey League. It's kind of interesting when you're down 3-0 and you come back and win. It's happened 4 times total, and Joe Pavelski actually has been involved in 2 of those one against Detroit when the Sharks were up 3-0 and ended up winning game 7. That was an amazing series in 2011. And then, of course, in 2014, when they had the 3-0 lead against the Kings and ended up losing. So they've got a lot of experience in dealing with it on that side.
Well, with that, you have to get, if you get this next one, then what happens is the Vegas Golden Knights, like the Sharks did against the Kings, you start thinking about how not to lose as opposed to how do we go about winning. And that's the difference. But you got to get the next one for that mindset to creep into the opposition.
Meanwhile, as far as the Florida Panthers are concerned, they're happy if this goes 7 games because they can get a little bit of rest and get ready to go. And we are going to bring all of it for you here on the Sharks Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Thanks a lot for joining us for today's show.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.